This week on Potlatch, Indian composer and teacher Dr. Lewis Ballard teaches a Navajo song. In mid-March, Dr. Lewis Ballard came to Interior, Alaska to promote the teaching of Native American music in the schools. On this program, he tells why and how he became an advocate of Native music in American schools.
When I first came to the Institute of Indian Arts many years ago, 1962, I was the only music teacher there and was the only music director there at the Institute. I had some 80 different tribes of youngsters in my music classes, in my choir. And I was a product of the normal school system, the American music system, in my education, and had my master's degree at that time in composition, and a music education degree, and a music theory degree, and my methods classes, of course, had directed me toward an average American situation. At Christmas time, we'll do the Messiah. That'll be the high point of our year. We'll do Christmas carols. Sometime during the year, we'll do a Broadway show. If we can do that, then we've got the most advanced, innovative, and exciting high school music program that you've ever seen. A Broadway show. We'll do West Side Story, or we'll do Pearly, or we'll do Showboat, or we'll do this and this and this. We'll sing choir numbers from Westminster Choir College. We'll do Wilhowski. We'll do Gretchaninoff. We'll do Russian Bell Carol. We'll do Italian, German, Brahms, Liebeslieder Waltzes. If we do that in our high school choir, then we are at the apex of our music education system. So, here I came to a school that had 80 different tribes, plus Eskimo, Athabascan, what have you. And what did I do? The first thing, first Christmas, 1962, in Santa Fe at our school, I did what I was trained to do. Some Fred Waring. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. And some Christmas carols and what have you. And it was like pulling hen's teeth to get these young people to read music, as music teachers know who have taught in secondary school and elementary school. So I said, there has to be an easier way than this. So I drug out a drum and said, let's sing some Indian songs. Will anybody sing an Indian song for me? Silence. No one was going to sing for their peers, of course. And what I didn't know also was that very few of them knew any Indian songs. So what I was doing, I thought I was getting into an area that would be a little easier, but I was jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. No one had used Indian songs in school at that time, 1962, unless it was a Follett publication tune out of a book, or unless it was a Hollywood ripoff, or one of these other compositions that you've heard from the West Coast. And I strongly suspect that composers out in Hollywood have a musical desk, and on the drawers of the desk are labels: Indians at War, Indians Making Love, Indians Attacking Wagon Train, Sneaking Up on Wagon Train. And I'll play you musical examples of each one. They're based upon the pentatonic scale, the black notes of the keyboard. Here's Indian sneaking up on wagon train.
Said he began to search for authentic Indian materials
which would have a relevance for these young people. I went to museums, I went to various places looking for materials. I did what, you know, an innovative teacher should do. I went searching for relevant materials to use in my classrooms where a great number of Indian youngsters were. So I went to the Rapid City Sioux Museum, and I found this piece of music called Ghost Dance, and I saw it on the shelf there, and it attracted my attention, and I looked on it, and there's a picture of Short Bull, a Sioux Indian, picture of a Ghost Dance shirt, a little information about the tribe. Aha, I'm going to buy this right away. So I did, and then I looked on the front of it, music by Short Bull, in quote, arranged by Mrs. Mary Parmalee, published by the Echo Music Company, copyright 1891. It must be a reprint, I said. And I read the dedication. In memory of his unprecedented success in dealing with the crafty, savage foemen of the frontier, we respectfully dedicate Iwahuni to the greatest living soldier of our country, Major General Nelson A. Miles, U.S. Army. This is tantamount to dedicating a Jewish song to Hitler. And then on the back I read a facsimile reproduction of the original in the collections of the Sioux Indian Museum and Crafts Center, Rapid City, South Dakota, administered by the Indian Arts and Crafts Board of the U.S. Department of the Interior, printed by the Teepee Shop in Rapid City, South Dakota, 1969. Well, I could get past that hurdle. I could explain, you know, this is just that era of life. I'll explain to my youngsters in class, that's the way they felt at that time, 1891. So then, maybe the music has some qualities to it. So we'll look at the words. Introduction, this is composed by Short Bull, Rosebud Agency, South Dakota. Quote, here's the first strophe. Who is yon fleet-winged ghost? Who is yon fleet-winged ghost? It is finished, it is finished. And then underneath it you see some vocables, Hetu Wichaya Ii, Hetu Wichaya Ii. That must be the native tongue. So we'll ignore that. We can use the English. I bring it around to enlighten people, inspire them to write music. It inspired me to search a little bit more. So I went searching in actual archives and recordings, and I came up with a song that goes like this. It was a ghost dance song. Ate he oyu makoche wo washte chichu bicha ya ne bikte oyu. Ate he e uyu, ate he e uyu. It was a real ghost dance in Sioux. So then, being a rather discriminating person, I wanted to tell youngsters what's going on, what has happened with the musical process. So I then started collecting what I call pseudo-Indian music, quasi-ethnic music, hyper-romantic saccharine music, based upon the Rousseauian concept of the noble savage of the wilderness, who strides out of the north woods of the Yukon, pristine and pure, with his wolf skin on, squaw in hand. Women are called squaws, and that's a terrible word. All right, on and on and on. The stereotypes and the cliches that exist and abound in this field. When I first started this in the Department of Interior as the music teacher in the BIA, and attracted a little tension with my rock in the boat, it soon became obvious to officialdom that I was not going to keep quiet. So composers and musicians when was this published? 1968, 69, 70. I was then in the BIA and, making myself known in this manner, would send their compositions and their publications to the Secretary of Interior, wanting the BIA and the Secretary of Interior to endorse their publications for use across the country as authentic Indian material. And moreover, even buy, I guess, 100,000 copies to be used by the 100,000 Indian kids or more that we have. We've got to get to the point where we can look at the truth. And the truth is that Indian music exists the way Bartok saw that Hungarian music existed, with the gypsies and with the people themselves, in the culture itself. Bartok collected a lot of tunes, Croatian tunes, Magyar folk tunes, and even came up with a blueprint for how to utilize this material in compositional form. He said there are three ways to utilize it. You can imitate, set to music an Indian tune, and harmonize it. This is the poorest way to utilize folk material. The second poorest way is to write scales that are in the scales of those Indian songs, and then write tunes in those scales that are about the culture. That's the second poorest way. The best way is to absorb every aspect of the culture. Learn the songs, the dances, eat the foods, love the people, tell the jokes, get absorbed and get wet with the culture, and then create your own music from the heart, which is a response to that culture. And this is the best way to utilize that material.
Now that Dr. Lewis Ballard has lectured to us, he puts his ideas into practice and invites us to a sing-along.
Class, and we have a class here in our studio. We have a song that you've never heard before, and when you got up this morning, you never knew that today you would be learning a Navajo song from Arizona and New Mexico. And this song is a song about beauty. And we all like beauty. Isn't that right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
See, everybody in the class likes things that are beautiful. So here's the song. It has words in it. The words are Sheen Nisha, Sheen Nisha, Sheen Nisha. That means as I walk. As I walk, as I walk. Beke hajona, hey ya, hey ne ye. Beke hajona means may it be beautiful. And then hey ya, hey ne ya are just vocables. Those are just sounds that have no meaning. Hey ya, hey ne ya. And then the last part, a'ala, a'ala, kon sha. A'ala, a'ala, kon sha means if it's not beautiful behind me, well, then I'm going to be alone in my aloneness. You see, it's a sort of a philosophy song. It's a woman's song about beauty. And here's how it goes. We'll listen first, and then I'll break it down just like I did now by sections, and we'll learn it a little bit by sections. All right. She nesha, she nesha, she nesha, beke hojola, heina, heineya. A'ala, a'ala, konesha. A'ala, a'ala, konesha. She nesha, she nesha, she nesha, beke hojona, heya, heineya. All right, now that's the song. Now, let's see if we can match that tone, that starting pitch, which is she. Can you go up and get that? Tune up now. She. A little higher there, Jeff. She. Now we're getting it. All right, now listen. We have to start, see, and make it sound reasonably good. So, listen to me carefully now. She. Nasha. Shinasha. Say the words.
Shinasha.
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 Very good. Najo means good in Navajo. All right, listen to it again now.
Shinasha. Shinasha.
All right, listen to it once more.
Shinasha. Shinasha.
Now, sing it along with me. Go.
Shinasha, shinasha.
Good. Let's try it again now.
Shinasha, shinasha.
Good. And then you say,
shinasha, bake hojona. Shinasha, bake hojona. Bake hojona.
Heya, heineya.
Heya, heineya.
That's it. All right, now I'll sing it that far, and you listen carefully, and then we'll do it together.
Shinasha, 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 bake ojona, heya, heineya.
Now, sing it with me this time. Here we go. Ready? Go.
Shinasha, 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 bake hojona, heya, heineya.
All right, work on that bake hojona. Say it to yourself. Bake hojona. Say it again.
Bake hojona.
Heya, heineya. Say that part.
Heya, heineya.
All right, now the next part coming up has what we call glottal stops in it. A-alla, a-alla. A-alla, a-alla. Say that.
A-alla, a-alla.
Right. Now singing it. A-alla, a-alla, konesha.
A-alla, a-alla, konesha.
Say it twice. Sing it twice. Go.
A-alla, a-alla, konesha. A-alla, a-alla, konesha.
All right, now do it by yourself. Go.
A-ala, a-ala, konesha.
Yeah, we'll put at the end of it, put this little pulse on it. A-ala, a-ala, konesha. Ah, like that. All right, go.
A-ala, a-ala, konesha.
Ah, put that. Ah.
A-ala, a-ala, konesha. A-ala, a-ala, konesha.
All right, do it again.
A-ala, a-ala, konesha. A-ala, a-ala, konesha.
Yeah, but ah.
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 All right. Now, you got to admit, that's different than any song you've ever heard before.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's a different singing style.
Yes.
So it's an entirely different way of singing than if you were singing three blind mice, see how they run. All right, see, in the English language, we have to open up our mouth and make it hollow on the inside with the vocables and pronounce with your lips. But in this song, you're pronouncing with your tongue only, and your lips aren't moving.
Shinesha,
Shinasha. See, your lips are hardly even moving at all. All right, let's try it again now. All right, ready, go.
Shinasha, 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 Beke Hajona, Heya, Heya, Allah, Allah, Konasha. Shinasha, 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 Beke Hajona, Heya, Heya, Neya.
Good. Now that's taking it one step. One step. There's another step. After you used a native song in the classroom, we're not to that step yet in Alaska with our public schools. Our teachers are not teaching our native songs in our schools. We're to the point where we're trying to get some native teachers in our system. And when we do, we still won't have the Indian music in the schools, because many of those native teachers have been weaned away from the culture, you see. So we're going to have to make a conscious effort. The music department here at the University of Alaska should be in the forefront of this. I know, and our ethnomusicologists know, that in South America they had trumpets made of basket and pitch, that they had aerophones, flutes, that they had quarterphones, some stringed instruments. The Apaches had these, who were Athabascans, by the way, and that they had many membranophones and percussion instruments. Marimbas and xylophones they hadn't come to yet, as Africa had marimbas and xylophones and thumb pianos and a great many different other things. But the Indian in this tribal state had been developing. So, the value of this system in the schools is saying to the youngster, I'm not saying Indian music is any better than any other music. Of course, Rossini said there's no such thing as good or bad music. There's only interesting and boring music. People often ask me, do I like country? Do I like blues and rock? Do I like blues and rhythm? Or do I like hard rock or acid rock or this and this and this and this? I said, if it's interesting, I like it. If it's boring, I don't like it. So that's the criteria that we should follow in terms of resources. If it's interesting, use it. If it's boring, the students in the class will tell you.
Once again, a musical lesson with the aid of Dr. Lewis Ballard. This time our teacher is Jimmy Tooley of Savunga.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Na wo 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 quit. Na wo wo wo. Ilah langa. Na wo wo wo. Ilah langa.
Ilah langa.
Yeah.
Ilah langa. Say that over.
Ilakhana.
Say it again.
Ilakhana.
Is that right?
Yeah. Na wo.
All right, let's sing that much.
Okay.
Na wo. Let's do that again.
Yeah. Na wo. Ilakhana. Kawat. Luka wo. Ilakhlanga, yeah, 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 yeah.
All right, let's do it right from the beginning, okay, and do just a little bit of it, and then repeat it again.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Go.
Now,
let's do that much.
Na wo.
All right, class.
Okay. Ready? Here we go.
Sing.
Na wo.
Do it again.
Na wo.
Now by yourself.
Okay.
Go.
Na wo. Ilakhlanga.
Sing that.
Ilaka.
See, there's a pulse in there. Ilaka. Try that. Go.
Ilaka.
Now let's do the two.
Yeah.
Uka wood.
Uka wood. Go ahead.
Uka wood.
Ilaka.
From the beginning.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, okay. Beginning.
Nalo ilaka na.
Pretty short.
Jimmy will sing it four times.
Yeah.
And by the fourth time, you should be singing along with Jimmy.
Okay.
Let's try it.
Try
just jump in and make a mistake, and then you'll find yourself as we go along.
Yeah.
All right, go.
Beginning again?
Beginning.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Now, oh,
that lesson by Dr. Lewis Ballard and Jimmy Tooley of Sabunga, we come to the conclusion of Potlatch for this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Jeff Kennedy. Potlatch came to you from KUAC in Fairbanks. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting gave some of the money to produce this program.
From From the University of Alaska, this has been a KUAC production.